Good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may know him and serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is giving grace.
This book explores why Job, or any other person, should suffer. Surely God could prevent it. In this answer, the writer's imagination soars as he explains that none of us can possibly understand the immensity of God, nor comprehend his ways. The Old Testament reading is from Job, chapter 38, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsels by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Here endeth the lesson.
Jesus has just shared with his friends his expectations that soon, in Jerusalem, he will be executed. But the 12 still argue between themselves about the greatness and the glory they believe is about to come, not understanding the kingdom of life, of self-giving and service. The New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom have been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry and said, "Be angry with James and John." So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Thank you. apologies. There was a misprint there. The choir were singing the Jubilate and the congregation were singing the Benedictus. But we gave joyful singing to the Lord, and that's the most important thing. I could just see the sea of faces amongst me as I was standing here. So apologies, but we're now definitely having the sermon. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. With a single voice, we can't go far wrong. Picture the scene, if you will. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Jesus is busy out amongst the people. His disciples are with him, and he is getting nearer and nearer to Jerusalem. He is thinking of the cross. He's thinking of his crucifixion. And in the midst of all of that, he is endeavoring to offer support and blessing to those who are all around him. And in the midst of all of that scene, as we heard about in our second reading, we see two of his disciples breaking rank. They come away from the others and they get Jesus on his own. Jesus, understandably so, is a little bit concerned. Why have two of his disciples, those that he has called, why have they come away from the other 10 and want a quiet word? How many of us in our respective positions have been on similar situations? I wonder, can I have a quiet word? And Jesus was a little apprehensive. What is going on here? He has so much going on in his own mind. The other 10 are somewhere out there, and 2 have come along for a quiet word. And they ask a question. Well, in fact, it's not just a question, it's a favor. They want to pull rank and they want to have a higher position than the other 10. Put us one at your left and one at your right. And Jesus is understandably furious. Have they learned nothing? These were the people he called to come, follow him, to serve God, to serve one another, and to offer encouragement, healing and forgiveness to those who all came alongside him. And now we've got 2 people who are all of a sudden closing their eyes and closing their ears to what they had been about until that point. And Jesus gets cross, because Jesus, the whole aspect of his ministry was servanthood. Not about power, not about self-advancement, not about glory, not about trying to get one over on other people, but on servanthood. And Jesus was quite right, wasn't he, to be a little bit apprehensive as to what was going on here. And so Jesus rebukes them. He tells them, look, this is not for me to grant. Those of you who are involved in different aspects of work will know about your terms and reference, will know about job descriptions, and will also know about acting ultra vires, to use that legal term. When you act ultra vires, you are acting beyond your powers, upon which there are consequences. And this was one of those situations that Jesus was not in a position to grant this request. Not only was he furious, but he also couldn't grant what they were asking. And the answer was, no, I cannot do this. This is for God and God alone to grant. And so Jesus, in the midst of what he is going through, is now trying to deal with this rather selfish and rather arrogant situation that he finds himself in. And I wonder, if we think of ourselves for a moment, can we see something in our lives that would be similar to James and John, what they were about? Trying to do something that perhaps with the benefit of hindsight we shouldn't have done, or to ask for something with the benefit of hindsight we shouldn't have asked, or to ask somebody a question to try to catch them out or to try to get that person upon whom we're asking the question into difficulty with their superiors. Because if we can identify with some of that, we can understand fully, can't we, just what's going on in the minds of James and John. They're trying to get one over on the other 10. They're trying to catch Jesus out, and they're trying to put Jesus in a difficult position, asking him something that he cannot grant. Let's think of our own lives for just a few moments. Let's think of our own actions, our own thoughts, our own words. And can we see a similarity somewhere along the lines that would be equal to what James and John are doing here? But Jesus, as always, is tactful. He's diplomatic and is also firm. But notice what he does here. He doesn't just speak to those two disciples at length to try to explain why this cannot be so. He actually brings all the disciples together and gives opportunity to talk to 12 of them, to talk to them, look, you have missed the point. We're not into power. We're not into self-advancement. We're not into glory. We're not into recognition. We're not into benefits or prizes or anything else. What we are into, however, is servanthood. And in the work that Jesus was committed to, it was servanthood and serving others that had to take precedence over anything else. And so even though now the cross is firmly in view, and Jesus is not that far from it, there's so much going on in his mind, he is now having to address this issue with those disciples because of what James and John had done. And so Jesus gives them a quiet talk to all 12 to get them, if you will, to reset their focus and to lose any sight of self-glorification, to lose any sight of arrogance, and to remember this work of ministry is to offer support and to be a servant of all, not just those to whom you feel it appropriate. Because so often Jesus was breaking the barriers, trying to involve more and more people, irrespective of their background or their tradition. What mattered was here was someone in need, and Jesus did his best to serve them and to offer support. So Jesus is now thinking, yes, of the cross. He's also beginning to wonder, I'm quite sure, has ministry been all in vain? Have they not realized it? And that reading today also is a timely reminder for you and for me to reset our priorities. How good are we at serving Christ? How effective are we at serving Christ in the midst of all that's going on in our minds? Because Jesus at that moment in time had more than enough in his own mind to occupy day after day without having to go back and deal with this very fundamental matter of arrogance. And yet Jesus does that because it is so important. As we leave our church this morning, as we go back to our cars and back to our homes and back to our own local areas, what changes can we make in our lives to enable us to be more effective in our own service to God and our own service to one another? What can we do that we're not doing? Or what good intentions do we have or have we had that haven't just been realized? What can we do to make a difference? Because Jesus, time and time again, always took the emphasis off himself and placed it onto other people. Often a quiet word, often a kind gesture or practical deed done at the right time, in the right way, that made such a difference, that offered encouragement to that individual, to that family, to that household, or to those groups of people who were around him at that moment in time. Jesus was forever serving. And that is, of course, for all of us,
to take that, what we hear in the gospel for today, but not just to take it and park it, but to take it, to embrace it, and to live that out in our own lives. Unlike what James and John were doing, they had parked it for their own self-advancement. But Jesus immediately gets them back to where they should be. And after this, Jesus is getting ever closer to the cross. And there we see servanthood in a very real, in a very genuine, and a very practical way. Jesus giving his life for all of us. So a new week, a new opportunity, a fresh start. And let's see all of us, and I include myself in this, how can we make a real difference of servanthood to do something to make a real difference to other people, but above all, in our ministry, to serve God both day and daily. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
As those who've come here to celebrate our faith this morning, we join in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, may clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The appointed prayer for this day and week. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
As we reflect on this morning's sermon, the gospel for this day, the importance of not seeking to exalt ourselves and our own place in society, so we pray that we may be a caring church, a humble church, a church where we place others before ourselves as necessary. Most merciful Father, you have called us to be a caring church, reflecting in our lives your infinite care for us, your people. Help us to fulfill our calling and to care for one another in an unselfish fellowship of love, and to care for the world around us in sharing with it the good news of your love and serving those who suffer from want, from hunger, from disease. We ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ called us to be a serving people, to be a servant church. Give to your church, O God, the grace to follow in the steps of Jesus, who came among us as one who serves. May it be ready in all the world to spend and be spent in the service of others. May it work with strength and suffer with courage for the liberation of the oppressed and the restoration to all people of the dignity and freedom of those created in your image. Grant this, our Father, for the sake of the same, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray that each and every one of us may exercise a pastoral ministry as appropriate in our day-to-day lives and in our calling as those who serve Christ in this faith community. Pour out your Spirit, O Lord, on all of us who are called to serve your church in one form or another. Give to us wise and understanding hearts. Fill us with a true love for your people. Make us holy and keep us humble, that we may be faithful shepherds and feed the flock committed to all our charge, ever seeking your glory and the increase of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. At a very difficult and delicate and sensitive time in the life of our country, we pray for those who are in positions of authority, those who are charged to make decisions on our behalf, that they may do so wisely and with a sense of responsibility. God and Father of us all, bless our country and send out your light and your truth to lead all who are in positions of authority in the paths of justice and peace. Give wisdom to those who exercise that authority in government. Remove all causes of contention and strife. Unite us in the service of your kingdom and make us a God-loving people, regarding your laws and living together in love and accord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For a few moments we pause and we bring to mind those who are sick in mind, in body, or in spirit. We pray for those who have suffered the pain of bereavement, those who are sad. And we pray for ourselves in the quietness of this place as we try to come to terms with life, with all its opportunities and its challenges. And so we pray in silence. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto you, and promises that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants and people, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Please be seated. You see in the Pew News that on Wednesday, November the 28th, there's going to be a festive floral evening in the church hall beginning at 7:30 p.m. And all the proceeds are made in the Church Hall Fund. You see that a lot of work has been done recently in the hall through your kindness and generosity. More is pending. Your support will be much appreciated on this evening. Tickets are £10 each, and they are available this morning from Elizabeth Leonard. So do please come along to see her and Linda Wilson as well as you're having your coffee. And also you may wish to invite your neighbours and friends to come along as well for what should be a most enjoyable evening. The demonstrations are going to be given by Maureen Mulligan and Joanne Henderson. Also, you see in the Pew News that the Art Club are having an exhibition and sale on Saturday, November the 17th in the Church Hall from 10 until 4. And again, all are welcome, so do please put that date in your diary. And then on the 12th of November, the men's club are having an open night and they're looking forward to welcoming the former rector of St. Malua's in Stormont, Canon David Humphreys, who's now the rector of Kilbride Parish in the Diocese of Connor. Canon Humphreys has been leading pilgrimages to the Holy Land for many, many years, and is going to be talking about this aspect of his ministry and work on that occasion, and that will be 7:30 on the 12th of November, and all are welcome. So do please come along on that occasion. Coffee after church this morning is kindly provided by Mums and Tots. They are a most successful and a most busy organisation that is also a cross-community organisation. They meet in the church hall on Friday mornings with willing volunteers from the parish from 9:45 to about 11:45, and some Fridays the hall is full of toddlers and parents and childminders or grandparents. And wonderful that we have in St. Columba's this important opportunity to serve the wider community in this very real and very practical way. And they will be offering coffee, so do please wait behind to enjoy that if you can before making your way. Let us pray.
Go forth from this place in peace, as those called to serve others and to serve the one who is the servant of all. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you now and always. Thank you.
in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.